Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Atlantia Full Year 2016 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to the Atlantia's management. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm here with the management of Atlantia, Mr. Castellucci, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Guenzi, Chief Financial Officer, and this is Massimo Sonego. I will drive you quickly through results. I'll try to be very synthetic, and then we go straight ahead to a Q&A session in order to answer to your questions as more detail as we can. Starting from the presentation. On page two, we have a quick summary. We think we're very happy about the results of 2016. We had a strong growth in EBITDA, +7%, and a strong growth in net income, +10%. I'm referring to like-for-like numbers because we had some one-off in 2016. In particular, the EBITDA +7% is the result of several components. First of all, the organic growth in the motorway Italian business, +7%, a +7.5% in the overseas business, and a strong increase, about 14% on a like-for-like basis of the EBITDA Aeroporti di Roma. Actually, we had a one-off with Pavimental that basically is account for approximately -60 million euro impact due to the new rebate applied by the ministry on the price list. If you strip out this effect, that actually means a lower amount of CapEx for Autostrade, so it will be recouped in the next year because of the saving in amortization next year, so it will be recouped in the P&L in the next years. The total increase in EBITDA is +7%. Same for net income. Actually, if you strip out the one-off, the net income would have grown by more than 30%, and the main impact was the 2015 166 million one-off due to the bond buyback that we accelerated in 2016. If you strip out this effect, then increase in net income is +10%. This is after the increase in dividends we are paying, because we are paying through the usual payout an increase in dividend compared to last year, equivalent to +10%. Net debt decreased as a multiple of EBITDA. It was 3.3x, now it is 3.1x. Let I point out that the acquisition of Aeroporto da Côte d'Azur actually is reflected only on December 31st because it is consolidated only in the balance sheet, while it will contribute fully in the P&L starting from January 1st, 2017. We marked an increase in CapEx. We spent 1.4 billion euro as a result of the completion of some works in Italy. In particular, you know that in 2015, we completed the famous Variante di Valico, so the doubling of the Bologna-Florence stretch. While actually in 2016, we completed the opening of the new pier and commercial gallery in the airport of Fiumicino. This is explaining why we had an increase more in the airport side rather than a slowdown in CapEx in the Italian motorway. Moving quickly to page three. Now you know that the group is organized along four main business platform, and Italian motorways still remain the big chunk of Atlantia business, accounts for approximately 68%, and is basically an entire Italian business. If you take into account that we have international motorway business and a big portion of Aeroporti business is international or GDP, global GDP related, in the end, we can say that 25% of the EBITDA of the group is driven by foreign travelers or business, while 75% still remains in Italy. We think that the new organization by platforms has some benefits. First of all, we made a clear allocation of debt in each platform on basis in a structure that will be fully non-recourse in few years. when the guarantee from the parent company will fall away in 2026. This will allow also some faster upstream of cash because we are bringing foreign subsidiaries under the direct control of Atlantia. And as you know, we are also in a process to select potential new partners in some platform. And having split the business in several platforms, we can identify the best partner for each one. Coming to the main performance of each business segment, Italian motorway business, as I said, marked an increase in EBITDA on a like-for-like basis of approximately 6%. This is mainly the result of tariff increases that grew up on the autostrade network by 1%, but more importantly by a strong increase in traffic that grew by 3.2% on average in 2016. Let I tell you that year to date we are seeing a traffic growth that is in line with the last quarter of 2016, so for the moment we are not seeing a strong slowdown, so we are still moving the lane of the last quarter, so in the range of 2-2.5. Of course, you have to strip out the leap year effect, and we also had some snowfall, so if you strip out all this effect, the underlying traffic is still growing at a good pace. In terms of investments, the main completion in 2016 was the completion of the A14 third lane, while we completed, as I said, the Bologna-Florence doubling for the main portion, the so-called Variante Valico, last year. And we are working on the residual portion of the Florence interchange, northward and downward, and basically this is the 36 kilometers of new lanes that are still missing. On Genoa Bypass, that is the last investment as part of the 2002 master plan to be approved, we are still actually waiting for the approval from the ministry. Only after that authorization we can start the work of these large projects. Moving to international, I would say that we are seeing results very good in Chile and Brazil, where we saw an increase by 6% by 10% in 2016 in terms of kilometers traveled, while unfortunately in Brazil we are still seeing a deterioration in kilometers traveled as a consequence of the low economic environment in that region. All in all, basically, this is a business that has contributed €500 million of EBITDA to the group. At the ADR, marked an increase in traffic in the range of 2%, and again, I would say that this is the same increase we are seeing today on a year-to-date basis. Actually, if you take into consideration the leap year effect, it is greater. And all in all, in 2016, marked an increase of EBITDA close to 14% on a like-for-like basis. And this is the result of passenger growth, as I mentioned, as well as tariff increase that in 2016 were close to double digit. More importantly, in 2016, at the end, in December, we opened the new commercial area and the new pier in the extra Schengen portion of the airport. The plan is to move forward with the extension of the domestic and EU/Schengen area, increasing the Terminal 1 and adding a new pier again to increase the capacity of the airport for this portion of traffic. And ideally, we would like to have to see these works completed by 2021. So we are very on track on this expansionary plan and increased quality. Quality that, as you see on page 9, is more and more perceived strong by our travelers. Basically, we are very proud by the end of 2016, even before the opening of the new shopping mall, Fiumicino ranked really at the top in terms of quality among the largest hubs in Europe. So we are very proud to have been able to turn around the airport from the last position to the top in very few years. The last platform that became the new industrial development pillar of Atlantia is Telepass, that at the end of the reorganization we commented before, is now a direct subsidiary controlled by Atlantia. While we had an increase of payment means that includes onboard units, personal cards, and apps, because now Telepass is also offering services of digital payment through iPhone and other smartphones, increased by 7%. And approximately 11 million payment means are active, and we have a customer base of approximately 6 million users. The plan is to add more and more services. We are moving to a digital world, and also Telepass is a strong and loyal system used by 6 million users. So we plan to extend these services, and we just incorporated a new subsidiary that is asking for the banking license from Bank of Italy. So we will be fully allowed to provide digital payment services also in different fields. Internationally, we extended also the use of Telepass in many other European countries. So now we operate in 7 countries. In Austria, Telepass will enter also in the Denmark market, in the Belgium market by this year. And more, the idea is to extend all the services we are testing in Italy also abroad. So this will become a new line of business in Europe for Atlantia.
If I can add a few words about this performance, let me say that the 2% growth in EBITDA doesn't represent the profitability potential of this business. The EBITDA in 2016 is the result of massive commercial investments and advertising costs to increase the customer base and to incentivize customers in buying more rich products. So it's a result of huge upselling effort done by us in the future, thanks to all the products and add-on we are introducing in the market. We do expect that the growth rate in EBITDA will be closer to double digit, if not double digit. So we do expect a strong growth in next years, thanks to a deeper product portfolio, a wider customer base, and a larger footprint in other countries. So the 2% doesn't represent at all the potential in next years, but we will come to you with more precise and defined strategic perspectives and targets in a couple of months when all these kind of initiatives will be more mature and ready to be communicated to the market. Thank you, Mr. Sonego, if you can go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Castellucci. Good to say that. I will move quickly on the financial side. Basically, on page 11, 12, you have a summary of our debt position. In terms, what is more important is that we have been able, also in 2016, to extend the liability or indebtedness, buying back some bonds. You know that our historical cost of funding in the end is still pretty high compared to the marginal cost of debt. Autostrade has a cost of debt of 3.9% in 2016, and ADR in the range of 3.2%. While, as you can see at the bottom left of the page, we issued recently €600 million bond from Autostrade per Italia at a 1.8% yield to maturity and 1.6% from Atlantia, because also now Atlantia is an issuer of bonds. As a consequence, you can see on page 12, we have been able to cut somehow the financial expenses. In 2015, we spent approximately €516, then in 2016, we spent €520. Of course, I'm comparing results, stripping out the effect of the buyback of bonds that had an impact, a one-off of €234 million in 2015. While, as I said, the debt is including now our Porto della Cotosul indebtedness, but it was not yet still reflected in the P&L. I leave the floor to Mr. Castellucci for some closing remarks.
Before to enter into the Q&A section, let me share with you some closing remarks. The performance is good, is solid, as you have seen, and the start of 2017 is good as well, is good in the airport traffic in the Fiumicino traffic because of very robust load factor performance is positive in Nice, is positive in the Italian toll road traffic, is starting to become at least neutral in Brazil, which is quite positive as well, in general terms, after a couple of years of very negative results. We still have, and we are still working on the optionality in the CAPEX plan. As we said several times, we are the only road concession operator with significant CAPEX plan with good remuneration. Is Genova, is Article 15 coming from the 2007 plan, is Fiumicino development, is Nice as well development, which will drive tariffs in the future in the positive direction. There is a huge potential for cost of capital optimization because of potential on cost of debt reduction and the different balance between debt and capital. You know that we are quite underlevered, which is good in terms of that there is room for improvement, and we believe that the growth of this company in the future will enable us to take advantage of that opportunity. The new organization will have, the advantage of being more focused, and which is more important to accelerate the upstream of dividends. Dividend, it will be the name of the game in the next years. And this is why we are quite, comfortable about the sustainability of the dividend policy we already communicated to you, which is about distributing 10% more every year for a good number of years. So everything is in the right direction. We are in control of our future, and all the basics of the business are going in the right direction, or at least in the direction we expected them to go. Thank you very much, and we are ready to answer to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Nicola Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I would have three, if possible. The first one is if we could have an update on the potential acquisition in Mexico you mentioned a few months ago. And in particular, I'm wondering if you could explain to us what would be the minimum return you consider as acceptable for such deal. Secondly, on Brazil, the authorities are working on new concessions or extensions, but Atlantia, in my view, seems not to be part of the game for the time being. So I'm wondering if there is any specific reason for this, and I'm wondering also if we could have an update on Rodonel. Finally, on Italy, I'm wondering if in a scenario of increasing rates, you plan to take further initiatives to secure the cost of debt in the foreseeable future, and if you can provide any detail on this. Thanks a lot.
I will start on RCO. About the return target in our investments. Let me say that there is no final outcome about the process. The only thing that I can say that our requirements in terms of return on capital are quite demanding, are shared with our partners, and I'm not sure that this will lead to a transaction because our requirements for return on capital are quite high. but we cannot say more because the process is not yet definitely completed. On Brazil, let me say that we are not yet in the position to think that is the right timing to invest more for longer duration of concessions. So we are not excited about trade-offs with government about more investments for more duration of the concession. What we are interested in is in completing the Rodoanel transaction. But I mean, being not totally completed Rodoanel and being the contract active after the total and final completion of the infrastructure, there is an intersection missing. We still have time to exercise our call option, and we will take all the time necessary to exercise for the right price in the right timing. Talking about cost of debt, I leave the
We demonstrated in the past that we are always ready to capture any opportunity to in terms of liability management operations. So we cannot exclude that in the future we can evaluate something like this, mainly considering that all of us are seeing an increase in interest rates. So we cannot exclude in the future operation like if to block the cost of debt in terms of yields forward starting on buyback of our bond.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is from Enrico Bartoli with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. A few questions on my side as well. First of all, a question on ADR. You mentioned the start of the new regulatory period. If you can give us some details about the new parameters and the impact that you expect on 2017 EBITDA. And also you mentioned the additional opportunities for commercial revenues you expect this year. Also by this point of view, if you can provide some details about the improvement in EBITDA that can be expected for this year from the commercial activities. Second question is related to the possible disposal of a minority stake in ASPI that you mentioned during the presentation in October. If you can update us, if I remember well, the binding offers were expected at the end of February, if you can provide some details on the situation where we are. And on the cost of debt, if you can please specify the average cost that you had in 2016 and what you expect for 2017. Thank you.
Okay. It's Marco Troncone from EDR. Regarding the new regulatory period, the key parameter to be highlighted is the updated remuneration of invested capital, which has been revised and set in the amount of 8.52%, which is applicable for the period 2017-2021. It's worth saying also that this is the base WACC, the base remuneration. On top of this, there will be also an additional WACC component applicable on what we call strategic CAPEX, which may be leading this number to an average blended WACC around 9% in the period.
On the commercial performances, with the opening of the so-called Avancorp, which is the commercial area for extra Schengen, what we have seen is very good results, well above budget for core categories, duty-free, and luxury goods, and quite below budget results in food. We are working with sub-concessioners in order to improve the attractiveness and the traffic in food, so we believe that at the end we can catch up on food and keep the overperformance on the other categories. So the results are above expectations, which is quite good for the numbers and results of ADR. Talking about traffic, as I said, capacity is not growing, but load factor is growing quite fast, which is very positive because any increase in load factor normally, I mean, is transformed into increase of capacity few months or few seasons later. Any increase of load factor means that there is, I mean, better efficiency of planes and higher prices normally, and then therefore more profitability and then more incentive to increase capacity. This is why we see every time very, I mean, positively any increase in load factor. This is a good premise for midterm growth. ASPI process, let me say that when I said end of February, it was before the referendum, before, I mean, the surprise, probably not, but let me say before the result of something that was perceived by the investors as potentially disruptive, which has not been the case, by the way. But this is why we released a little bit, I mean, the time frame of the process. Now we are telling our investors that we do expect a final binding offer between end of March and mid of April. They are proceeding. There is interest on the asset, and we will see at the day of final binding offers what will be the outcome. Let me say that for the time being, I mean, the expectations we had at the beginning are more or less there in the process, reflected in the preliminary offers we got. Talking about cost, the last point?
Yes, about the cost of debt between 16 and 17. On the balance sheet, you can see that the cost of debt for 2016 is in the range of 4.5%. We envisage for 2017 on a like-for-like basis to reduce the cost of debt in the range in 80-100 basis point area, considering that our last issuance are has been done very, very good. And also you have considered that in 2017 we will have the impact on of the in the new perimeter of Aeroport de Côte d'Azur.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Vittorio Carelli with Banca Santander. Please go ahead.
Good evening, all. Thank you for receiving my questions. The first one is related to the ASPI transactions and what you said about dividend. Let's imagine that you perform successfully the sale of a 15%. We should have a meaningful impact on EPS coming from minorities there. Therefore, if you confirm a 10% increase in dividend going forward, it would be quite stressful for the profit and loss, let's say, or the implied payout. So will you anyway confirm the 10% even with that amount of minorities on EPS, hammering the EPS? And this is the first question. The second is regarding Nizza. On top of the price paid, have you had injected additional equity in the asset? And if yes, how much of it? And regarding the share buyback you launched last year, I would like to know how many shares you bought so far and which is the average price. Thank you.
First part of the question is about the compatibility of disposal of 50% of ASPI with the 10% growth rate in dividends in the next years. I mean, the two are compatible. And, I mean, when we say 10% dividend growth over the year is assuming a disposal of 15% in ASPI. Talking about the equity we invested in Nice, let me say that our price, according to what we understand, was very much in line with the price of the number two bidder. And most of the price has been financed via an acquisition financing. The overall debt, which is not recourse and investment grade, is above 10 times EBITDA, which is why we've been capable to secure the transaction with very good return on equity. I mean, considering the quality of the asset and being competitive on the price. That's thanks to leverage. Share buyback, I don't know what we can say. I ask our lawyers.
About the share buyback, today we have in between 9 and 10 million of shares. Is a range of 1.3% of shares at the average price of 21.5 euro.
Okay. Okay. About the equity injection.
Sorry. Regarding Nice, the equity injection in the vehicle is 490 million.
Okay.
Sorry, this is our share, our portion.
Yes, okay.
So for 75%.
Okay, grazie. Thank you.
And there is the expectation to sell a 15% to a strategic partner, very present in the area, but it's too early to communicate because we have not yet obtained the final approval from local authorities and the GSA, which is, I mean, the authority for airports in France.
So, it is
so
Monaco,
we do expect to reduce a little bit our stake from 75% to 60%.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Elodie Rall with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Just two questions then on my side. First of all, to come back on Nice Airport, I was wondering if you have, fine-tuned guidance there of what we should expect on EBITDA growth and revenue contribution, maybe retail performance since you had a couple of months to look at it since the last Investor Day. And second, on Genoa CapEx, I was wondering if you had an update there on the discussions that you're having with the authorities and notably the potential concession duration increase there. Thank you.
The first question is about Nice, the second is about ASPI, isn't it?
Genoa,
and therefore ASPI.
Yes.
So about Nice, I mean, what we are seeing today is very much in line with our assumptions at the time of the offer. Traffic is doing well. The management is buying the acquisition plan. In general terms, I mean, in the highlights, so we have nothing else and more to say, I mean, more than what we already said probably in October.
Yeah.
To you can ask to my colleagues to, I mean, get the presentation we prepared at that time. Talking about Genoa Bypass and the concession extension, I can confirm to you that there are talks between the government and the European Commission. More precisely, the DG competition. I mean, there are discussions. We believe that there are rooms for agreement, that the French example is a good benchmark for everybody. And, I mean, but we have no control on timing, of course, because the timing will depend on the discussions and agreements between Italian government and European community. But there are talks open, and the talks are progressing. This is what we know, but we are not directly, totally involved.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Thomas van der Meij with Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Actually, first question, I read some rumors that Macquarie is looking for an exit of Brussels Airport. You were mentioned as potentially interested. Is that true? Are you looking at the asset? Secondly, I mean, you indicated that you want to reduce your stake in Nice. Could you help us and give a bit of a timeline there? Is that will it happen this year, or is that more midterm? And finally, I mean, you indicated that the 2% growth rate of EBITDA for Telepass is clearly not reflecting the growth profile. When do you think your platform is mature? So what is like the number of years we can see double digit growth there? Thanks.
Talking about airport assets from Macquarie, I mean, we are interested in airports, but we are interested in controlling airports, not in having financial stakes together with others in a co-control, no consolidation situation. So we wonder whether there will be anything for sale with a clear path to control for us. This is why we are looking at everything, including Brussels, including Copenhagen, and so on. But, I mean, the probability that something will come on the market with a clear path to control for us is not so high. Third part of the question is about Telepass. I mean, I don't want to anticipate today what could be a sustainable growth rate of EBITDA in the next years. I do prefer to, have another meeting or a presentation in a couple of months to explain to you what we are doing, what we have done to be dominant in the payment systems for mobility of cars and people. We believe that we have a unique combination of assets, which is in a very general, very general level, the combination of a bank account with direct debiting, which is Telepass, the plate number and the license number all together in a unique database. This is something that nobody in the world has and nobody in Italy has. And we believe that this can help us to become dominant in the payment system for mobility. As an example, any time we enter in a new market, could be the parking in the center of the cities, could be parking in the airports, could be tolling in free flow toll roads in the north of Italy, we immediately get a market share which is in the range between 60 and 80%. I will not say from day one, but probably day 10, we start to be in that range. So our solution is so strong, so efficient and so dominant that we can be really effective. This is why the 2%, which is the result, as I said, of huge one-time investment for upselling to our customers, is not representing the potential of that business. And we will be very glad to present to you, more details and strategic directions of our business in order to make you more, aware about what we are planning to do and why we decided to make our Telepass one leg of our group. The legitimacy of being one leg, one of the four legs, is because we believe that we can create a lot of growth and a lot of value there. And, premium results are very promising. The second part of the question I didn't got.
Can you repeat the second question? I guess it was about Nice development in mid-term. Did I understand correct?
Yes. So you indicated that you want to reduce your stake. Is that planned for this year or is that more mid-term?
Yes. No. I believe that we can finalize in weeks, if not months. Or months, if not weeks. It's already almost finalized. We are waiting for the approval, but the contract is there already. So there are technical delays, but we do not want to go below 60%. We believe that staying at 60% is right for us.
Thanks, clear.
The next question is from Stefano Gamberini with Equita SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Three main questions. First of all, regarding Aeroporti di Roma, could you help us to understand what could be the worst case regarding the Alitalia crisis for you, just to understand what could be the trend of traffic in 17 and 18, considering a collapse of the Italian carrier, or what is the scenario that you expect for this crisis? The second regarding ASPI, and you said that there was a postponement for the timing of the sale of this 15%. If you can share with us what are the main concerns that you found with investors right now, is the political scenario, is the increase of interest rates or the widening spreads that are the main concerns in this moment from the investors? And also, if you can give us an idea of the trend of traffic that was so good, 2%, you said is the underlying in the first part of the year. If you can spend a few words, what are the main drivers? Is the heavy traffic, the light traffic, or what are the areas that are moving well? And the very last question, if I may, is what is the level of debt that you have in ASPI right now and in the holding company? Thanks.
Of the question will be Mr. Gwenzian Sonego to answer. I will start with the part regarding Alitalia. I mean, we do not have any precise scenario because, I mean, the way the company can have problems can have an impact on the scenario of recovery for ADR. But what I can say is that Alitalia represents not more than 31% of aviation revenues, which is quite low if compared with hubs. Normally, hubs depend much more than Rome on the main carrier in the hub. The presence of Alitalia is quite limited. Let me say as well that our experience is that any time a carrier get out, we experienced with EasyJet in 2016, there is another carrier willing to enter and to fill the gap. This is what happened between EasyJet and Ryanair, for example. So, frankly speaking, we are not investing so much time in understanding what could be, I mean, the recovery scenario, also because, let me say that what I see is that Etihad and the banks are willing to support recapitalization of the company, a discontinuity in the company management and operations. So I consider very unlikely the possibility that there will be no recovery and no recapitalization of Alitalia. This is what I see, and this is what, I mean, the banks said, putting more money in December, in January, and in February. Putting more money, and I mean without being consequential and consequent on the next recapitalization would be totally irrational. So I would say that this probability is not something we are investing our time in understanding the implications. But I will start from what I said. Alitalia is a mere 31% of aviation revenues, which is probably the lowest presence of an hub carrier in an hub in the world. The other part of the question is, I mean, the 2%
traffic growth.
I would say that is better in heavy traffic than in light traffic, which is good, and is better in the north side of Italy than in the south side of Italy. So it's quite understandable. So nothing new, nothing strange, good news. The fact that after a very good year, we still continue to have a good year. The first part of the question was about Okay. About postponement, I mean, let me say that what I said a few minutes ago was that after the referendum, we decided to release the timing because we wanted investors to better understand the Italian situation, the European situation, and losing some emotional involvement that in December and January was very high. This is why we unilaterally said to the investors that, I mean, instead of having the final and binding offer in February, we wanted to have that between the end of March and the beginning of April. But it's not a postponement, it's simply releasing timing, a decision we have taken before the preliminary price indication of December to give people more time to think about. And I would say that this time has been invested wisely by us because, I mean, timing is clarifying a lot of, I mean, concerns that were in the market a couple of months ago or a month ago.
With regard to your last question about the level of indebtedness of Autostrade per l'Italia, after the full restructuring, so including the transfer of Telepass, the transfer of the overseas assets, and the dividend payment expected between April and May, the final net debt on EBITDA of the company would be in the range of 4.5 times. So extremely sustainable and in line with the present one.
Many thanks.
The next question is from Martin Wachtel with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is on your CapEx plans in Italy on the Genoa bypass and the 2007 plan. I mean, those are still showing in your slides as not authorized. Has there been any update on that in the last few months? And when do you expect the construction on those CapEx plans to actually start? And question number two, it's actually on your new structure where you have a holding company and you have a number of operating companies, and you are mentioning in your slides a faster upstream of cash. So can you provide some color on the dividends that all those operating companies will be paying to the Italian holding? For example, ASPI, I mean, what is the dividend policy for ASPI dividends to Atlantia, and also are you receiving any dividends from the Latin American motorways and airports? Yeah.
I mean, talking about the timing of authorization from the government, let me say that the timing of authorization is linked more or less with the negotiations between Italian government and European Community about concession extension. I would suspect that the two will come together. In the first half, could be in the first half of this year, but I have limited visibility about the timing of negotiations between Italian government and European Community. The other part of
In terms of dividend, upstream dividend, just to be clear, we have no constraint in terms of distribution of dividend between OPCO and HOLDCO. So our policy is to remain focused to distribute 100% of the net income of our operating company.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Nicolò Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a few follow-up questions. First of all, a clarification on traffic. I'm wondering if traffic on Italian motorways is positive or negative in the first quarter of 2017, for the time being at least, considering the challenging comparable basis. second, you said before that you want to be industrial partners and you want to have control of the airports you eventually buy. So I'm wondering if you already have contact with the other shareholders of Stade for buying out their stakes. Third, on Nice, if we could have an update, if any, on the regulatory review underway. And last point on SAM, if we could have an update on the situation of the concession.
Let me say about traffic. I mean, first quarter, nobody knows, because first quarter will include March, and the future, I don't know. I can tell you what is the year-to-date situation. I mean, excluding the impact of the leap year, today, as I said, we are well into the positive side. We are slightly above, we can say, 2%. We are 2.4% year-to-date, excluding the impact of leap year, which is quite positive after a strong 2016. Talking about SAM, Autostrade Meridionali, no news. I would not say good news because, I mean, we are continuing to keep the EBITDA and the cash flow of the company, but we don't keep the final down payment. So, I mean, we are in a neutral situation, but not a bad situation. Talking about Save, let me say that, I mean, we have a 23%, 22% of the company. For the time being, we do not see, I mean, enough, I mean, mobility of shares and stakes to imagine our, I mean, intervention in the capital. But we wait. It's a financial investment. We believe that whatever will happen will be at higher prices than what we have paid. So, I mean, our position is quite safe. In this there is no regulatory review in the sense that, I mean, we bought with, highlights of the contract, including in the package for privatization. Now we are waiting for the finalization of the details of the contract. The process is ongoing, is not yet finished. As far as we know, I mean, finished very recently for Aéroport de Paris. So I do assume that the French administration is proceeding with a certain order from the bigger to the smaller. So now is our round, and we hope to finalize the contract quite soon based on what the government put in the package for privatization.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Enrico Bartoli with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, a couple of questions as a follow-up. First of all, on external growth opportunities, you commented about the Mexican assets. Can you update us on other processes, other assets in which you are involved in this moment in terms of possible disposal programs? A second question is related to if you can give us an indication of the impact on your tax rate from the reduction of the corporate tax rate in Italy this year, and in general, is it fair to assume that in 2017 we can expect a significant increase in EPS, considering that you indicated a reduction in your cost of debt, and I guess there will be also a positive impact on taxes. Thank you.
I cannot give to you any further, information about potential transactions or deals. The only reason why you got the information about RCO and Mexican was because it was a tender, even if a private tender. Everybody knew about the existence of that tender. But, I mean, I cannot say to you anything more about potential initiatives. On tax rate, I ask my colleagues.
Tax rate cut was effective. Well, is effective starting from 2017. So we're expecting a saving tax approximately 20 million euro plus. If I'm not wrong, I see no more questions request. So thank you very much. I wish you a very pleasant weekend. And for any further question, we can discuss later. Our investor relations desk is available. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.